Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well, really look, was. I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out, and the travel packs are worth it.
Welcome back to Talkville, folks, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast where each week we go back. We go way back. We watch every episode of Smallville. I can't believe I'm doing this. I've never done this. Tom makes fun of me constantly. Look, it's a show that changed our lives forever. I think it might have changed yours. Maybe you're viewing it for the first time with us. We'll see if it changes your life. But we discuss the episodes with all you guys, and it's been a real treat. And seeing the messages online, our patrons, go to patreon.com/talkville to support the podcast.
Michael, you and I talked, 2 days ago. There's going to be something special for the Patreon people coming up soon.
Well, let's not say it, but we're working on it.
All right.
We're working on it. We're always trying to please those patrons. With us today, okay, so Tom, of course, is here. Hello, Tom Welling.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I've spent more time. I spent more time with you in two episodes than I have with my family total.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. Also, Ryan is not feeling well. You know, he was a little cranky when I FaceTimed him. You know, when you're not feeling well, you're a little cranky. And he's a good sport.
Did he just get back from Vegas?
I don't know why he's not feeling well, but we'll discuss that with him. But he's going to come on at the end of the episode and, of course, do the Ryan's favorite scene. He said he'd at least do that. So stick around for Ryan. We've had some great guests in the past. We have a big guest coming up for the finale, so you don't want to miss that. And our special guest today, since Ryan couldn't be here to engineer, he made time. This guy is busier than anybody I know, Jason Ronan Nelkin.
Well,
Jason.
I hope I'm not busier than anybody you know, but great to be here, guys.
Tom, he comes in and he's like, sorry, I'm a little late. And then I go, yeah, I don't care. He goes, you know, I actually like being late because it puts a fire under my ass. It makes me more intense. I work faster. I work harder.
It's a rush.
It's a rush, man.
It's a rush.
Anyway, if you didn't get a chance to call in and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some. Make sure you get some in future episodes. Do it early. If there's an episode 5 episodes from now, get a question in then. Leave it, and there's a better chance you're going to get picked as a question.
You know, we're going to really, the season finale, just for the people listening to this, it's going to be big. So if there's still time, once you hear this, call in.
Yeah, and a two-parter. It's going to be a two-parter. We're going to do it two parts. The first episode as it is. It's the first part, but the second, we'll have a special guest. Look, our hotline is 213-538-2883. You want to give us a call. You want to leave a message. Make sure it's short. Also, our socials, they're very important. It's a new show. We need to get eyes and ears on this podcast. So follow us at Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Follow us on Talkville Pod on the Twitter. Write a review, Apple reviews, or wherever you find your reviews. It helps immensely with the rankings and helps us maybe get more sponsors. So do that. And join Patreon. Patreon has saved our butts right now. It's the patrons that are giving back. They're keeping this podcast alive for now. And we couldn't do it without them. So patreon.com slash Talkville, and it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of cool stuff. And without further ado, let's get into season one, episode 20. We're almost there, Tom. Obscura.
I'm telling, let me just say this. This was a tough one.
Say it.
You know, I started watching it and I, but it grew on me as I was watching it because I didn't quite remember it.
Yep.
But I was like all of a sudden the police were actually there and then they were there a lot. I don't want to spoil it, but I was like watching it. I was like, but it, I think Alan Miles, they knew what they were doing. You just had to watch till the end.
Hang on a second. You know, there's no spoiler alerts at this moment. We're actually reviewing the episode. The people are listening are hearing the review with us.
Oh, I'm sorry. The cops showed up twice.
Yes, you could say that we know the cop's bad. One of the cops is bad.
I mean,
I had my thoughts too, but we'll get into that. Right. The title is Obscura. It aired May 14th, 2002. The director is Terrence O'Hara, who I loved. He reminded me of old Hollywood, just like, Michael, move your head to the left. God damn it, be quiet over there.
He's like a baseball coach.
He really was. Writers, Al Goff, Miles Miller. Teleplay by Mark Verheiden and Michael Green. Story by Greg Walker. A lot of people involved in the writing of this. Guest star Tom O'Brien as Roger Nixon. Always like to see him back, don't you?
Yeah, we had two good. Roger and your favorite scientist.
Oh, yeah. Joe. We have Joe Morton as Dr. Stephen Hamilton. We have Darren Kilmeck as Deputy Gary Watts. Aaron Douglas as Deputy Michael Burdego. Robert Wisden as Gabe Sullivan.
Chloe's dad for the first. Is this the first time we ever saw him?
Who, Chloe's dad? No, we saw Chloe's dad before, didn't we? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Jason, well, I'm surprised about this is actually, guys, Jason, our editor, watches some of the episodes because his girlfriend's a fan. I didn't know that.
I believe. Did we see Chloe's dad?
So he only edits the show because his girlfriend watches it. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Maybe.
We see, I think we see her dad when they do the factory tour in the episode.
Yes. See?
Yeah.
He's on it.
Right.
He's
on Bye, it. Ryan. You're done.
Synopsis. No. Lana develops a form of clairvoyance after being injured by an explosion, and she has visions of the activity of a local serial kidnapper and killer. When Chloe is kidnapped, Clark must rely on clues from Lana's visions to save her. Right off the bat, I rolled my eyes immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, she's got visions from the kryptonite. Oh, here we go. And you're right. The episode did grow on you a little bit. There were some nice, surprising moments. But the idea, I guess they're, grasping for straws here. You know, what kind of freak of the week can we have? But at the same time, further the story. Have that as sort of, okay, we've got this, but the real stories are, in between.
Well, let me get this out of the way. One of the problems with this is there's an explosion, Lana falls, there's kryptonite. So that means that when the meteorite hit and there was an explosion and there were kryptonite pieces everywhere, everyone is clairvoyant now? No. So let's get that out of the way. Okay, this is a isolated incident. And, for me, there's some other things that I got more out of in this episode than just the story. And we'll get to that. But, I just think it's cool. We got to see Kristen's character sort of handle an episode. We got to see some relationships between Chloe and stuff. But this is more of a recap. So let's carry on.
Open on Lana and Whitney horseback riding as they see a giant explosion at a nearby gas line. By the way, was that them on the overhead shot, the helicopter shot? Do you think that was stunt doubles?
My wife asked the same thing. In fact, she goes, is that you? And I'm like, I don't think so.
That's what I thought for a second.
And then as they got closer, it was Whitney. I was like, oh, Tim.
I think it might have been them. I think it was probably them. I don't know because they were going pretty fast and they would never let them go that fast. Anyway, I continue on. They go to investigate the scene where police and oil workers are attending to the explosion. However, they're not aware of another line about to blow. The line explodes as people flee the scene and the explosion full of kryptonite meteor rocks causes Lana to hit the deck, giving her a concussion and putting her in the hospital. I'm gathering that when she hit and the explosion, something compounded or with the kryptonite rock, it kind of hit her and gave her this ability. But
was it the explosion? Was it her hitting her head? Was it the kryptonite? A lot of questions.
Yeah, unanswered. And then she loses it at the end, but we'll get to that. In the hospital bed, Lana has a vision of Chloe being stalked and drugged in the parking lot. Back at the Kent farm, Clark talks with his parents about the upcoming spring formal and the idea of asking Chloe to the dance.
But again, I think Annette was just so wonderfully perfect in this. The way she's thinking about her son, encouraging her son, and then Jonathan's like, hey, back off a little bit. But she's just so loving. I just love
her. She's amazing, but I felt like there was one moment where I thought she messed up a line. Like she like
oh, really?
She flubbed it. Yeah. She said something like, she goes, blah, 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 the spring formal. Like she forgot the word formal, but it's fine. No one else would know, but she's so good that I never notice anything but brilliance. And this one, I go, oh, there's a little bit of a, you know,
finally,
flub, but they let
it go.
A chink
in the armor.
Yeah,
we'll bring her up if we have her as a guest. We'll bring up that one moment.
So he asks, he was thinking of asking Chloe to the dance, but not wanting to close the door on Lana, of course. Lex stops by and gives Jonathan a check for the Luther Corp dumping that killed his cattle. Nice guy, Lex. You know, that episode where all the cattle died. All Lex is doing, he's not giving him extra money. He says, listen, this will just cover the cost. I'm not trying to throw money at you. I thought that was very respectful. And it seems as for now, like, hey, thank you, Lex. Or, you know.
We're good.
We're good. Maybe. We'll see what happens later.
I think the one thing they did do, or what your character did, everything was fine until you put your hand out for the handshake.
What did I do?
Then I was like, nah, that's a little creepy.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Handshake always means a little something more. You know, if you could have just left the check and walked away.
I know, like, it's Smallville, though. They have to get that handshake. That are they going to make the deal? Even that episode hug, they got to show. I mean, they just want to see that stuff. Okay, at Smallville High, Clark is having issues running the torch while Chloe's away on an interview for the Daily Planet.
Well, nothing works.
No, of course not. Lana stops by to ask Clark if he's talked to Chloe, as she's paranoid after the vision she had of her getting attacked. Roger Nixon stops by Luther Manor to visit Lex, upset that he's giving out stories to his competition.
I thought, again, as a fan of the show, I like seeing him again. I always knew that him coming, walking into the Luther Mansion, and he goes, we need to talk. And you say, and Lex says, I doubt that. I love that. I doubt we need to talk.
Yeah, he's just very dismissive.
I love it. I love it.
And you know, when Roger Nixon comes in back in the town, he's got something for Lex. There's something about Clark.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's not good. And I think Lex handles it well. Obviously, Nixon's upset because the competition is Carrie Castle, who was Marguerite Moreau in the
masseuse.
Yeah, my masseuse, who I gave a job because she was trying to blackmail me at the Metropolis Inquisitor now. Roger tells Lex he's developing a story around the Kents, the meteor shower, and something falling from the sky. Later at the Kent farm, Clark's getting frustrated with a tractor and proceeds to dent the metal exterior out of his frustration. Worry for Chloe's well-being. Jonathan tells him it has nothing to worry about. And Jonathan confides that he hasn't deposited Lex's check because something about it.
Okay. Hold on. Before you get into the story, here's a bump for me. Clark being upset with a tractor. Okay. And I guess I didn't know this at the time. Clark throwing a gear on a tractor would break the whole thing in half. Right. And is he that frustrated about not getting a phone call back from Chloe? I'm just saying. And then what also then happens is you got, I think it's two or three really great oneers between Jonathan and Clark in this episode that are just like beautifully no cuts. He's going this way, I'm going this way. And I love oneers. Like, I love it. It's so much fun. There's such a dance to it. And there's at least two, if not three, in this that are great.
Clark heads to the town and talks with Pete about the spring formal and winds up talking about Lana, who he's asking. I like that, you know, Pete didn't have much to do. A lot of the times he did. Sam didn't have a lot of lines. He didn't have a lot. But when he did, he put everything into it. He put everything into it. And he had an energy. He put energy on the screen. And you needed that. You know, he could have been like, man, who cares? Let's just learn these three lines that I have and just walk through it. But he didn't. He put his heart into it and it shows. Yep. Mid-conversation, Lana has another vision of Chloe kidnapped, blindfolded, and being held by a masked man with tons of teddy bears. We'll find out why. We then cut to Chloe, who's attempting her escape from her captor until he stops by, hitting her with a tranquilizer. Mr. Sullivan and the police arrive at the town to discuss his daughter's disappearance with Clark and Lana.
All of a sudden, the police arrive again.
The same police.
Second time in one episode.
The police criticized Lana for trying to give tips based on a vision she had. And I like that how they kind of make you feel in this episode that it's this one cop. Because he's like, oh, yeah, you had a vision. Well, did the vision come with an address or the, you know? And you're like, oh, this guy's a dick. I bet he's got something to do with it. And it did distract you from the real guy.
It's what you would expect the cop to say.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, it was all right. I let it go. Lex and Roger Nixon go to visit Eddie Cole. I love this character. He had a bit of a stutter. He looked old school. He almost looked like a younger version of my boy Blue in Old School. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He was good. He was a character. I love when the show has characters like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You felt like that person is out there.
He said he saw something in the meteor shower. Something came down. There was meteors, but I know it was a ship. Yeah. Lex pays him off to tell his story of what he saw while he was up in the air crop dusting. That just makes me think of farting, which was a ship crashing down out of the sky. And that night in his loft, Clark is met by Lana as they discuss Chloe's search party. And as she's about to leave, yep, Lana has another vision of Chloe being buried alive near the windmill. She relays the info to Clark. He rushes to the scene. He uses X-ray vision to find where she's buried, and he rescues her from the ground in one fell swoop. I had a problem with this. She's buried alive, and then she wakes up, and there's Clark, and the coffin's completely above ground.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So she's like, how did I get above ground?
I was distracted by her saying, it's you. It's always you. I thought
that was a nice
that
line.
Distracted me from all that.
That was sweet. That was a really sweet line. But, you know, I know Al's going to be probably, Al Goff, if you're listening, you're like, Rosenbaum, let it go. Let it go. Suspend disbelief. At the hospital, Clark and Lana try to get info from Chloe to identify her captor. Leaving the hospital, Lana has another vision of somebody beginning to stalk her. The next morning, Clark puts the pieces together that these occurrences could be related to the gas pipe explosion as he helps his father lift heavy bags of feed into his trunk.
So that's one of my favorite scenes because you get to see Jonathan lifting up these bags. Clark, hey, glad you could join me. And there's the do-si-do is what we call it. Of them going back and forth, lifting things and throwing things. That's one of the wonders. That's the second wonder that I recall. I'm being like, this is me learning this. John knowing the dance, Terrence knowing the dance, and me sort of like being the new guy. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a lot of fun for me to watch. I see what I'm doing in it. And I'm like, oh, good job, kid.
Yeah, good job. That's cool. I get that. I like that. On their drive, Clark and Jonathan see a crew from Cadmus Labs inspecting some land under Lex's supervision. He tells them that he's interested in purchasing the land, but wants to test the soil because it's believed it was a site of the meteor shower. Jonathan then tells him what's good for Luther Corp isn't always what's good for Smallville and returns his check. I had a problem with this.
Right.
I had a problem with Jonathan Kent and his effing character. You know, it's like, hey, I talked to somebody who said there was a ship that fell out of the sky or something, you know, going on. I want to see what it's about. It only makes him more suspicious going, oh, this is what you're doing, huh? What do you care what he's doing? What do you care? You're worried about your son, which is making you more suspicious, which Lex should read into, for God's sakes. But this whole thing, what is Lex doing wrong?
Lex isn't doing anything wrong. If anything else, he's looking out for, quote unquote, the environment. What would have been interesting, I think, Al Miles, sorry to say this, it's easy to say this now,
yeah,
is if when Lex showed up with that check, right, earlier in the episode, if Jonathan somehow would have said, you know what, I've been eyeing the back 40 of my property, which I don't own, which is where Clark's ship landed. He goes, how about you purchase that in my name, so I own it. And in between the purchase agreement going through and whatnot, Lex goes in there. Now it's like, that would have just amped it up. But
I don't think Jonathan Kent would do that and draw attention to it. And I don't think he would ask Lex for more money or more. He doesn't want to ask Lex for anything.
There you go.
That's the thing. He doesn't want to. He never. I don't want to ask these assholes for one thing. I don't want to owe the Luthers anything. I don't care what it is. I'm not.
But now you know that Jonathan was trying to protect his son because of the burial ground that you were digging in. You got to give him a little credit.
I get it. I just don't know why he just shows up there and goes, what are you doing, Lex? It's like, why does he care so much?
And obviously, you thought it was too obvious. This is the thing.
It's too obvious. We know why he's doing it. But like,
is he as obvious as the B-girl?
Oh, God. Don't get into the B-girl again. The site Lex is testing is the same one where Clark's ship crashed. crashed. On site is Dr. Hamilton, who shares his findings with Lex, who is suddenly increasing.
What a great reveal, because he's such a, you and I are such a fan of his. And he comes up with the mask on. Lex, you got to see this. And you're kind of like, who? But I recognize the voice. And there's like, only you and I mean, maybe some people would like it. I just love that he turns, and I'm like, that's our boy.
Yeah.
I love him.
I also, it was kind of goofy guy. He was so happy that he found something like that. He looked so happy. I've never seen him happy. So that was cool.
But that's the best part about him. And again, he shows up later in the episode. He's so happy because this is his everything.
Yeah.
And I love it. That's what you want. You want energy. You want to believe it.
Absolutely.
If he just showed up and he was like, sir, I just found this thing. You'd be like, nah.
And I think along the way, you know, while we're doing these episodes, you can see clearly now. I couldn't before because I was so involved and so right in the middle of it all. We all were. But you can see what a difference a good guest star makes and what a bad guest star makes. We've had some that are great that make the episode shine or make the episode that would have been crappy or average better. And you see a bad guest star, one of that's not that is just it, the episode kind of goes down.
Well, there's something that I try to remind myself, and I've said this before, but I'm working on the show Winchester's now, but your job as a visitor is to bring an opinion. You know what I mean? You have to show up, your character has to show up with an opinion, and that brings an energy, and that brings something that the real cast, so to say, can react to. Mm-hmm. You can't just show up and just, hey, I'm here, I'm just going to say my lines. And what we get from our scientists is like, you have a guy who shows up with an opinion, with an energy, with an attitude, and that's energy.
Yeah.
And you need that.
It adds. Later at the talent, Lana and Whitney share a nice heart-to-heart about the lessons Whitney's dad passed on to his son that was inspired after Whitney found his father's military medals.
I thought he did a great job in this episode. With all the stuff that he's had to deal with, I thought he really, I don't know, I felt like he found his feet on the ground, in a sense. It makes no sense.
And it was really hard. No, it does make sense because
he wasn't
given a lot.
Yeah.
He just wasn't. The show wasn't about Whitney. The show was about these other characters. And for someone that I think he accepted that and he came in and he always did a great job, even though sometimes he's like, I'm the asshole in this episode. I'm the asshole in this episode. I'm going to get beaten down in this one. Oh, my dad's dying. Oh,
somebody's going to do a podcast someday and make fun of me about this.
No, I thought he was great. Yeah, but he's great. And I love him. We should get him on the podcast. Yeah. Maybe his last episode on the show, because he eventually leaves the show. Maybe we'll get him on. I think he would do it for sure. Eric would do it.
Eric's great.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
That night in his loft, Clark is interrupted again, this time by Lex, who is wondering what Jonathan's problem with him is. Lex senses that the Kents have issues with his prying into the strange occurrences of Smallville, including the meteor shower. Clark tries to pivot him away from his search, but Lex is determined to find the truth. I mean, you say all the right things.
I mean,
but Lex, let it go. That was the past. I can't let it go. Something happened. I can't get it out of my head. And it's you, Clark. Chloe and Whitney meet Clark at the school in the torch as he tells him the theory for how Lana received her visions from the gas line explosions. They're all brilliant somehow. As some sort of PTSD side effect to the blast, Clark then tells him he believes one of the deputies that was near the explosion at the same time as Lana could be the kidnapper. Late that night in the town, Lana's closing up when she's interrupted by Deputy Berdango, who has more questions for her. And we're all thinking, this guy's the bad guy.
I love it because Lana's like, oh, hey, hi. And he's all creepy. She's like, would you like some coffee? Like the way she says coffee.
Coffee.
Would you like some coffee?
Let me get my bags. As the Canadian accent, as she goes to get him coffee, she has another vision in real time of the deputy being knocked out by the kidnapper. She turns, she screams, cut.
See, this is where it all starts to heat up because it's like, so she had visions from not her kidnapper, but somebody like, what? I don't know if it still is clear to me, but in that scene, she sees the guy from behind, but then that guy gets hit by somebody else.
No, I think she sees the bad guy's vision as he's walking up.
Right. But nobody hits the bad guy. That is the bad guy.
Okay. Nobody hits the bad guy. The bad guy hits the guy we thought was bad.
It's all clear now.
But they show up at the town, find Berdego's partner, Gary Watts, is off duty at his second job at the carnival, which makes sense why Chloe saw stuffed animals around her when she was kidnapped.
By the way, they definitely shot that at 2 o'clock in the morning. The only way you get to shoot at a carnival is like in the middle of the night, because otherwise they're open.
Correct. It was always so cold, and I felt like there was nobody at that carnival, that little amusement park.
Because it was 2:30 in the morning.
At the carnival, we see kidnapped Lana questioned by Watts on how she's seeing things through his eyes. Watts then confesses that he kidnapped Chloe and Lana to take credit as the cop who found or rescued them. I mean, that's why he did it. I wanted to kidnap them so I could take the credit for finding them.
I mean, I was actually like, it's not a bad idea. It just didn't work out. I mean,
why not kidnap an old person who's easier to kidnap? And then maybe
they wouldn't get the headlines. It's just an old person, but you get a young high school girl. I don't know, but it just didn't go right. I mean, maybe you need to edit what I'm saying right now from this episode, but I don't know if you know the editor, but I just think like when it came out, what he was doing, I wanted to create this crime to solve the crime, to further my career. I was like, I wouldn't recommend it, but I see what you're going for.
I get you. As Watts prepares to create the murder case that he intends to solve, Clark rushes to the carnival without Chloe and Whitney to intervene. He jumps in front of the bullets that Watts shoots at Lana, blocking it with his open palm. As the ricocheted bullets cause glass to fall from the sky, Clark dives on top of Lana to block the large shards. Now, you know, the CGI, I could tell how dated it was with the glass.
A little bit.
Yeah. It was definitely outdated. And sometimes the bullets, you catching the bullets are great. And sometimes they're a little bit kind of not great. You ever notice that?
A little bit.
I mean, I guess that's just.
Yeah. Yes, I do notice that. Yeah.
As Watts attempts to flee, he fires bullets into Clark's stomach, which bounce off as they are hitting metal.
But they do break his shirt. And this is always the funny thing we bring up.
Clark then throws him into an attraction. We then see Lana have a vision of Watts getting shot by police who arrive on the scene as he refuses to surrender. The next day in his barn, Chloe arrives to tell Clark that she got accepted to the internship at the Daily Planet. Clark then proceeds to ask her to the spring formal as we get played out to No Such Thing by John Mayer.
Did you notice that too? I when I was rewatching it, I was like, we got some John Mayer in there?
Yeah.
All right.
That was when he was
And then
hot.
I was like, oh, that was 21 years ago?
Wow.
And you know what I mean? Like, at the time, that was like legit.
That was probably a couple $100,000 for that song. I thought that was a really sweet scene between you and Chloe. I thought she played it well.
Wasn't too much. Was a little reluctant. It was a little bit about like Clark doing what he thinks he should do because of what his experience is to this point.
But this is where the Klana and Kleck and whatever Klana and then the Lana Chloe
Klana.
Or Lek, Clark and Chloe. What was that called? Klana and Chloe. I can't remember. I don't know.
Don't cut that. Whatever cut that.
It. I sound stupid. Seconds. I don't care. But I guess watching it again, I'm still like, I mean, I don't know why, but I'm just team Lana. It just makes sense to me.
You know, I think there was a reasoning to Clark asking Chloe that, you know, everything adds up to it with Martha talking to him and, you know, you got to sort of live your life even outside of the Lana thing. But I would agree that there's something about Clark and Lana on screen that goes beyond words.
That's right. And believe it, I think that Chloe is a great person and she's available and maybe a little desperate, but you know, has got her things together, knows what she wants to do in her life, and she's good to Clark. And so it makes sense. You're like, why can't the girl that really wants him have him? Why is he waiting for someone who doesn't want him or is just can't go there?
The thing is, again, I said this before, but Chloe and Lex both have this understanding of who they are, how they want to operate, what they expect from other people. Clark and Lana, they just have trouble pulling the trigger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who can't pull the trigger, finally pulling the trigger of some sort with somebody who's like, this is what I want. So it's good. It's good drama. I don't know if anything I just said made sense, but you know, I think that's the biggest problem with Clark and Lana is that they can't do what they don't have the nerve
to do what they want. They don't know what they want.
Yeah. You had your chance on that porch that one time. You just ruined it. When Aunt Nell comes, my crush, she comes out of the house. We won't get into that. We get a closing scene of Lex Luthor being met by Dr. Hamilton, who shares the preliminary results of the fragment found at the dig site. The results are that the material is otherworldly.
Not only otherworldly, but here's a perfectly shaped octagon.
That was weird that it crashes and the only thing that comes out of it is this key. It's dislodged and it sits there in the field. And
by the way, for years, I had no idea what that was. Like, we would go to these conventions and people are like, can you sign this? I'm like, what is this? They're like, it's from the show.
I know. I didn't know either.
And now in this episode, I learned.
I learned. People always have me sign that too.
I had no idea what it was.
I didn't either. I swear to God. This is hilarious. We didn't know that the key in the ship was what Dr. Hamilton found, which is why when people could, they'd be always, oh, geez, man.
Sorry,
geez,
people.
Louise. Interesting things of note. This episode title comes from the term camera obscura, which literally means darkened chamber. It is the term used to describe early devices for projecting an image on a screen using either a lens or a pinhole. In this episode, Lana Lang develops the ability to see through the eyes of Deputy Watts. Her vision appears much like a pinhole camera. When Lana Lang and Clark Kent are talking at the torch, Lana tells him that he won't have a future in journalism. This is, of course, a reference to the older Clark that will work at the Daily Planet as a journalist. Chloe Sullivan says Clark Kent leaps tall theories in a single bound. Other incarnations of Superman use the tagline able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
How do they come up with this stuff? That's just the writer's room, which I never saw because we were up in Vancouver and they shot in LA. But like, how do they come up with this stuff? It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, these episodes are a lot of work. And like, you got to, I mean, 22 episodes is unheard of. Think about this. Think about all the great episodes in this first season, including the episode we haven't seen yet, which is the
majority
finale.
If you took
the best episodes in an 8 to 10 episode streaming show, you put the 10 best episodes. It's a good show.
Oh,
we have 8 to 10 that are pretty damn good. You know,
you only have the best.
Got a great opener, a great end, and a good handful or more that are really quality episodes. So again, 22 episodes a year, 10 months a year, you know,
it'll never happen again.
Before we get to Ryan, hopefully he'll be here. These are questions, by the way. These are questions that you, the fans, the listeners, the patrons, they call the hotline. It's 213-538-2883. And these are their questions. We'll start out with a question from John from Australia. It's a text question. In this episode, Clark finally calls out Jonathan for his treatment judgment of Lex and how it will contribute to Lex becoming a bad guy. At this stage, Lex's future was still in the balance. What do you three think?
I think it was a good scene, and I like that John said, "How did you get so wise?" And he said, "Ask my dad." I thought the scene was good.
I did too.
The subject matter actually took secondary to me.
Yeah,
I thought the scene was good.
But also, like, I think what he's also talking about is, you know, how I think it definitely Clark's, you know, the treatment of Lex from whomever, albeit John, your father, John Kent, Jonathan Kent, it does contribute to Lex becoming a bad guy. I think when people just don't trust you because of your father, when they don't confide in you, when they don't love you for who you are, which he experiences constantly, that adds up. The distrust, the father in the shadow, the truth of what happened to his mother, all the, and his brother, Julian, and all these things that happen all contribute to Lex's downfall or
I mean, if one conversation with Jonathan Kent means all that to Lex, yeah, he's got issues.
I think he's just like, he just wants Jonathan to like him and say, hey, I don't have any ulterior motives. Think about it. He doesn't have ulterior motives. He doesn't know Clark has anything to do with this field. He's just figuring out, like, a ship came down here. Let's find out about the ship. Why should you guys be mad at me? I don't understand. Wouldn't you guys? This is interesting. I'm always interested in aliens and UFOs. If I found out that there was a UFO that had crashed, oh my God, I'd be the happiest guy on the planet. And it just happens to be you. So here we go. Video. Patron privilege. These are the patrons that get a video privilege. This is Estevan.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Tom. It's Estevan G from Texas. I'm wearing my Talkville hat and my Talkville shirt. My question is for episode 20, Obscura. This is the first episode that we see the key that'll later become a big player in the show. Was there any inclination that Al and Miles knew what they were going to do with the key, or was it kind of just something they wanted to do early on that might lead to something, but they didn't know what yet? Thank you for doing the show.
You got to call Al right now.
No, here's we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. I personally don't think they really knew what they were going to do with that key as of yet. I think they had an idea, maybe we could incorporate that. I'm sure, but conclusively, I doubt they knew exactly what they were going to use. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure Al will text me and say, you were wrong. Here's what we were thinking. But screw you, Al. Don't lie to me. Be honest. Here we go. Ray Harada. This is, let's see what she has to say. She's a lovable patron. Lovable. They all are.
Hello, it's Ray in Japan. And I have a question about episode 20, Obscura. So do you think Lana has other permanent powers? I always liked the idea that Lana was a low-key mutant and had powers that drew people to her unintentionally.
I don't think so, Ray. I don't think that Lana has any powers. I don't know. Tom, you'd know. You were.
I think that she was intuitive a little more than more people. No, I mean, I think she just had a better sense of people. I don't think that was a kryptonite-related ability that carried on beyond this.
It's a cool fan theory, though.
Yeah, it's a cool fan theory. I like fan theories. They're usually kind of right on. Yeah.
Hello, Team Talkville. Bob from New York. Got a question on Obscura. Chloe goes to spend some time in Metropolis with her cousin. Do we know at this point who her cousin is?
No, we don't. Bob, we don't know that yet. Let us know when you know.
It's Bruce Wayne.
Maybe it is. I wish. Here's Michelle.
Come on, Michelle. I know you are there.
Hi, Jen. This is Michelle calling from Seattle, Washington. I was curious for all of you, who do you want to be connected with? Whose eyes would you want to be able to see just as Lana did in the episode? Awesome. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Well, Lex would have definitely wanted Clark's eyes to see what he was up to, whether he knew it or not.
Yeah, I would say.
Lex would. What's Clark really doing? Do you think he's on to Clark that much?
Yeah. But wouldn't you want Lex's eyes? See what Lex is up to?
I don't know. I think at this point, Clark would want Lana's eyes.
Jeez.
Lana's webcam.
Lana's webcam and pervert.
Jeez, God.
Jason the pervert.
No, I just mean he wants to know more about her and what she's doing.
Well, that counts, son.
It does count.
Wow.
Here's Dave.
Hey guys, Dave from Chicago. For Tom, when Clark is trying to start the old Kent tractor and he gets frustrated, he bashes the fender and dents it. The effect looked pretty good, and I was wondering how it was done.
I think we just did it. No, I'm sure that the special effects people made it easier to dent than normal. But again, based upon watching the episode and talking earlier, I just felt like the whole tractor should have disintegrated in a sense.
That's true. Maybe you just
took it easy.
Hey, it's Jason from Pittsburgh with a question for episode 20, Obscura. My question is for Michael. Michael, what do you think Lex thought the object from Clark's ship, the key, was? Do you think that at that moment Lex was convinced that it was otherworldly? Or do you think that he was more rational and thought it might potentially be something else?
I think at this point you have to think that Lex, his mind is going a little all over the place and going, you know, how did this happen? We had this meteor shower. We hear about these crazy things. At this point, I don't think he's pinpointing Clark yet. He's got this idea about him saving him, but he's like, it just can't be. You know, I think he's more concerned about, not concerned, but more excited about the idea of there being extraterrestrials or a ship.
Opportunity
to, you know, maybe reverse engineer something like they do nowadays with ships and things that we don't even know about. So there's a lot of things that I think he's hoping, hey, this could be a big breakthrough in science and Lex Luthor's name's on it and, you know, bigger and better things. And guess what? We have Ryan on here.
What?
He's coming on. He's coming on. There he is, folks. Old Ryan.
How you feeling,
bud? You feeling better?
It just kind of feels like I got the shot, honestly.
You know, that's three nights of not sleeping in Vegas will do that to you. I'm glad that you're okay.
You feeling all right, you know, though? You just a little tired?
Me and my Vegas ways. Just like fatigued. Like it started with a sore throat. I went this long and it got me.
Ryan, we miss you, but we've also replaced you with Jason.
I understand. I hope this is.
There's a lot of hair in the room.
A lot of hair in the room. I love that hair. Don't you ever cut that hair, you bastard. All right, we're going to get into this death count so we can let Ryan go because he's not feeling well. But, you know, hey, how many people got saved? How many people died? One died. Deputy Gary Watts is killed by the police. I would hope so. Otherwise, he was going to tell his story. Not that anyone would believe it. Two people were saved. Clark saves Chloe and Lana. Through 20 episodes, 30 dead now, 35 saved. Tom, overall, what'd you think of the episode? What do you give it?
I don't know. It grew on me, but I think it's still a 1.5.
All right. Ryan?
I think I'm going to go one.
Why is that?
For a penultimate episode, I was not as wild as I was hoping to be. And I think the motivations of the villain were a little contrived, if I can pull out an SAT word.
I agree with you, yeah. I agree.
I feel like the episode was striving for something. It didn't get there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I felt like it was.
No offense.
It was just everything's so easy. You know, it's like the end. It just all comes together and everything's all. And I'm not a fan of that.
In some ways, if Chloe was kidnapped, but Lana could see through the eyes and then Lana was kidnapped. And they were both kidnapped and they both saved each other. And then Clark showed up, but they'd already solved it. You know what I mean? Like it would have shown a lot. I don't know.
You know what? I like cliffhangers. I want things to, and we start to do that as we get into later episodes and seasons where it just doesn't end all wrapped up in a little bow. I don't like that. Okay. I watch shows that like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens. And I think people wanted to see that. They don't want it to wrap up. They want to come back next week to see what happens. It doesn't always have to wrap up. And there's obviously some stories that aren't clear yet.
But to be honest, this is a show that is designed to be isolated by episode. You're tuning in. Formulate. If you're a fan of the show, you're tuning in next week to see what happens next.
And in a way, it is a cliffhanger. It's still a cliffhanger because you're finding out, does Clark end up with Chloe? There's things that are evolving. There's storylines. But I don't know, maybe just a better storyline. I don't know. I didn't love this episode. I didn't hate it.
That makes me feel good about Ryan's favorite scene coming up because
okay, well I'm gonna
you
give
didn't
this
like any of it.
I'm gonna give this
I did not like,
I'm gonna give it a half a rose. A half a rose. It was better than just it was a little better than that. But that's it. That's why I give it a half a rose. That's where I'll go with that. There's some nice moments, some nice writing, some nice cinematography. And also some cheesy stuff that lowered it a little bit for me. And now it's time for Ryan's favorite scene.
All right.
Hold on. Was it the scene in the loft where Lana says, "You think I'm crazy?" And Clark goes, "I don't think you're crazy."
Yeah, that was great. Did you?
I was proud of that before. I'm like, that was a good read, Welling. Is it that scene? And then we can just be done with this?
No.
All right.
Hang on. By the way, let's just get this out of the blue. I'm up 10-4 right now and guessing Ryan's favorite scene.
Humble. Look at that guy. Humble sandwich.
By the way, the hotline number, this is from Leah Stubb. She's a patron. She says the whole hotline number doesn't spell anything, but the last four digits spell cute. Oh. So 213-538 cute. There you go. Remember it, folks. All right. Favorite scene. Ryan writes down three scenes, as we know. We pick which one Ryan loved the most. Here we go, Ryan. Name them.
We'll go with the opening scene with the horse riding and the explosion.
Okay.
It was a little cutty. It was just too many individual shots.
Kid Cudi.
Too many stunt riders. Anyway. Yeah.
That's not the one.
Clark saving Lana twice in the fun house where he stops the bullet and then jumps on her with the mirror when that crashes. And then the ending because it's a little cliffhanger. We haven't seen too many of those and it's where Lex is starting to put it all together.
Well, Tom, Mr. Humble Pie over there, you go first.
This is obvious to me. I mean, it's obvious because.
Oh, obvious.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Lex scene at the end.
I'm going to go with the mirror scene and I'm going to go one right. Right, Ryan?
Tom is correct.
What?
You got a double save. I can't believe that didn't count as two saves, by the way. Like he deflects the bullet and then jumps on her.
Well, it's he saves her ultimately from this guy.
Oh, like twice.
Double saver.
It was a double save. I wrote down double save. I think it's canon.
All right. 10-5, Ryan. Good job, Tom. I was surprised by that one. I thought it was the wrong call, Ryan.
That was the most fun I had watching this episode.
Look, guys, that's it for this episode. Also, talkville.com, I think, is where you can go get merch. There's a lot of merch being sold, hats and t-shirts and just a lot of stuff. And of course, join Patreon to support the podcast, patreon.com/talkville. Love Ryan. Jason, thank you for sitting in.
Glad to be
here.
Thanks, Jason. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. There's a lot went into making this episode happen today and this timing, Ryan. Thank you. Get better. All you can do is sleep. Yep. If you can get a B12 shot, do it. But just sleep for like 4 days.
Well, 3 days.
Plan on doing. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Hang on a second before you go. That's really it for this episode of Obscura. Stick around next week as we get into the season finale. It's the season finale, part one of two.
Series in England.
It's called Tempest. And we're going to have a special guest. The second part two. I don't know. It might be part one. You better watch both. Hey, this is going to be a big finale. And then there's some episodes after that, some ideas that Bryce is working on. So, and if you're not a patron, join Patreon because we've got some great ideas and things that are happening that you don't want to miss out on.
That's where the big stuff's going to happen.
Yes. And what else? The last thing. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod. And if you want to let us know your thoughts for other episodes in season one, leave a voicemail over at 213-538-CUTE. And last but not least, always hold on to Smallville. Thank you guys again, Jason,
thanks, guys.
Tommy,
thanks,
Ryan. Thank you, love Jason. You. Ryan, feel better, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I will.
See ya. All right. These are the shout outs. These are the top tier patrons. They help us so much keeping the show going. So if you're enjoying the show and you want to contribute, want to help out and support the show, go to patreon.com/talkville. Keep the show going. Hopefully we'll have a season two. I think we will. It's going, but we need your help. And also Tom and I will be in the day after Thanksgiving, San Francisco, and Friday night, Smallville Nights. We do a beautiful event. We read scripts. It's so much fun. If you haven't come, you need to come. If you're in San Fran, do it. Look on our Twitters or Instagrams. You'll find the information there. And then the following weekend, we'll be in Columbus. And same thing, it'd be a Saturday night, Smallville Nights. And the week after that, back-to-back-to-back weekends, we'll be in Pittsburgh for Steel City Comic Con. So please join us. Come see us. We can't wait to have some fun right before the holidays. Come see us for the holidays. And right now, here's the shout-outs, top tiers. Tom, take it away.
Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, Tom T, Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana A,
yes.
Abhi P,
yeah.
Chris F, Kimberly E, Michael H, Ra H,
Ray H, that's all my right. Sweet Ray,
Karen M, Danielle B,
99 more, Lalani N, Catherine P, Brett G, Super Sam, always hold on to Smallville, Jeff E, Estevan G, DJ Kento, Twitch, Carrot, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Teresa, Justin S, Tom N, Tony V, Jason W, Osama A, Nancy D, hey Nancy,
Brian G, Sarah W, Artoon K, Justin T, and Lucy O, Grape Jelly 817, Jeremy G, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, and Michael's favorite,
Grumpyitis, Jordan M, Hillary B, The Blur with a 3, Craig G, Christy R, Polly Ann, Karen P, Derek G, Jarrell, Richard S, Heather Gray, Nico P, I made Talkville say butts.
I didn't know you could do that.
You did.
Brian it. H, Jason M, Georgina B, Eric K, Kevin E, Craig, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Richard R, Finky, Kenny S.
Kenny S, Kenny.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at the next one. Sydney S. It screwed me up. Kenny S. Sydney S, Tito G, Remix, Stephen F, Damn Who's That, Jeanette E, and Deadvid.
Damn, who's that? That's got to be the joke, right? Damn, who's that? Allison H, General Zod, Amara and Ev, It's underscore Kitty, Crack. That's a good Irish term. Drew
it's an
M.
L. Isn't that an L?
Drew Crawl? M, Connor M, Kralk? I think it's crack. Kralk?
K-R-A-L-C.
Is it an L?
Yeah. Where? Yeah.
Kralk? Sorry, Kralk. Aracelis R, Big D, Andrew B, John M, and Doug R. We love you guys. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks for all the support and the love. And make sure you go to the Smallville store. Get some cool merch. See ya.
Thank you.